Today we want to look at this same thought again. Psalm 119, 68, Thou art good and doest good. The Word of God says that God is good and He does good. He doesn't do bad things to good, godly people. Take notes. Does anybody need a pen, piece of paper? Ushers have got some. If you shoot your hand up in the air, the pens are only $12. Piece of paper is $5. I'm kidding. But if you need a pen, I'm not kidding about that. I'm not talking about the kind you stick somebody with. I'm talking about the kind you write with. All right. You decide you need one, raise your hand. Ushers, watch them. And greeters, if you see a hand go up, that means they want a pen. Okay? And you can write on that announcement sheet if you don't have anything else to write on. Okay. Well, let's go. Today we want to look at that same thought, Thou art good and doest good. The Word says it is God who gives you the ability to produce wealth. You want to know this one, and you want to write down these scriptures and learn them and memorize them and speak them, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And faith comes in great measure when your brain hears your mouth say it. Your brain needs to hear your mouth saying the Word of God. Your brain is programmed to give you what you say. So be very careful about saying I'm dumb and ugly, or you'll become dumb and ugly. How would I know that? Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. The temptation is to take credit when we're blessed. Well, look what I did. Verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. How many are already glad you came to church? Amen. That is important to know. God has given every one of us the ability to produce wealth. That doesn't mean we're going to be millionaires or billionaires. It means that we have the ability that God has given us and is giving us to produce enough money to live life and live godly and live successfully. Amen. And who knows? He may have millions in mind for you, but if you don't believe this, how can you expect God to do something you do not believe? But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. How is that confirming His covenant? Because He promised to bless them, that's why. And He confirms His covenant of blessing by blessing His people who serve Him and obey Him. Now, if you will not read the Bible, and you will not pray, and you will not go to church, and you're on the fence, and sometimes you're godly and sometimes you're not, then you need to make up your mind to be totally sold out to God so God can bless you. And so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your forefathers as it is today. This says God has given us the ability to produce wealth. If God gives us the ability to produce wealth, then it's not wrong to have wealth. Amen. God desires that we all be blessed as we serve Him and obey Him. Proverbs 10:22, it is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. Read that with me. Is it on the screen? I won't turn around and give you the glare. So read it with me. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. You want to be blessed financially, you need to get a hold of God. And I don't care who you are. You may be successful for a while, but the devil's got all kinds of strategies to kill, steal, and destroy. If you want to be blessed and stay blessed, you need to hook up with God. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. He adds no sorrow to it. He adds no sorrow to it. See, this says God's blessing produces financial prosperity. My Uncle Curtis Rochester is married to my mother's sister, Elizabeth. Now, they were two of my favorites in the whole family. They're both in heaven. And they took me to church and all kind of good things. I remember them even before they got married. And Uncle Curtis graduated from the sixth grade, and they said he wasn't smart and he'd never be successful. He's a good-looking guy, had a good personality, but he was no genius, just average at best. But he died a multimillionaire. I watched him. I knew him before he married my aunt. This guy totally served God with all of his heart. All he did was serve God, pray, and obey, and God blessed everything he did. At one time, I actually worked for him. Saw him up close, he and my aunt both. Average guy died a multimillionaire because he served God. And he wasn't a prosperity kind of guy. I mean, he just was praying and obeying, and he didn't even have a clue. He just prayed and obeyed, and God just blessed everything he touched. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 9, then the Lord your God will make you most prosperous in all the works of your hands and in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your land. The Lord will again delight in you and make you prosperous just as he delighted in your fathers. And so there's a lot of promises there to bless your crops as your job, to bless the fruit of your body, the fruit of your womb, that's your children. And a lot of times we just sit back and let the devil rip us off, and we need to say, devil, hands off, because the word of God says, my children are blessed, my job is blessed, my crops are blessed, my health is blessed, I'm blessed. Now get your hands off of me. You've got to know your authority. Listen, you can sit around and pretend there's not a devil, but there is one. And Jesus said he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a liar and a murderer. He will steal, kill, and destroy if you let him. And if you're going to stand up to him, you've got to have something to stand on. The word of God. Even Jesus stood on the word of God. He said, Satan, it is written, it is written, it is written. Be gone. You've got to do the same thing. I don't care what you've been taught or what you think. This is the truth of God's word. And if you want to be blessed, you've got to go with God's word. Verse 10, if you obey the Lord your God and keep his commandments and if you obey the Lord your God and keep his commandments and decrees. And so he says, if you obey me, I'll bless you. Curtis Rochester worked in a cotton mill, making a little more than minimum wage. He was able to save up money and bought a farm. He started a wood shop. He made the most beautiful furniture you've ever seen in your life. I've never seen anything like it. Okay. He built a large chicken house and sold eggs. He raised cattle. He had a herd of cattle one time. I think about it. I had 100 of them. It was worth about $30,000 a piece. Hello. I'm just talking about, this is my uncle on my mother's side that married my aunt. I mean, I saw it firsthand. And I never heard anything about no prosperity gospel. I still don't believe in a prosperity gospel. I do believe in the gospel and I believe in the scriptures. And it says God has a plan to bless me, and I'm dumb enough to believe it. Or should I say, it's a good confession, smart enough to believe it. You see, he did what God told him to do, and God blessed everything he did. And people say, well, he couldn't even make it in school. He's dumb. But, I mean, he blew them all away. My uncle Ernest Birch, my mama's brother, he was a genius. His school teacher said, this guy's a genius. He went back to college about 30, 35, got a college degree, master's degree, and became school superintendent for two different counties at two different times. And I was talking to Ernest about Curtis years ago, and he said, Curtis is the most wealthy one in our family. He's outshining all of us. And that was a smart one talking. Okay. I'm telling you, God will bless you if you'll obey him. Amen. Serve him. Yes. And don't be lusting after your neighbor's wife and doing things you know you shouldn't be doing. Amen. A lot of Christians not blessed, and they blame it on God, but not blessed because they will not do the word, they will not pray, they will not go to church, they will not meditate on God's word, and they have things going on in their life that they know they shouldn't, and then they blame God. Well, God just just not God's will to bless me. It's God's will for you to obey Him and serve Him, and then God will take care of the rest. He sure did for Uncle Curtis and Elizabeth. He built, he was part of a small church there in a little tiny village, and about 9 miles north of Rome, and they needed a new building. He literally built them a beautiful new church building himself. And I mean, I was in it not too long ago doing a funeral, and I think it seats about 150 people. It is beautiful. He built that thing for them. See, if you serve God and obey God, Hosea chapter 2, verse 8, for she, Israel, the United States of America, does not know that it was the Lord who gave her the grain, the new wine, and the oil, and lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal. America started out as a Christian nation. Anybody tell you any different, either are ignorant or they're bald-faced liars. I'm a history major. I studied it backwards and forwards. This nation started out as a Christian nation. Yes, a few people owned slaves, and secular humanists want to use that to demonize the whole country. But shortly after it became a nation, they outlawed new slaves coming in, and then they fought the greatest war probably in history to set the slaves free. Why don't we give this nation a little bit of credit for doing what's right? Nation, America did not become the greatest nation in the world until they got rid of the curse of slavery. Do you know that? Amen. But the reason this nation's been blessed is because it was rooted in the gospel. And it's easy to prove. They've tried to change the history books, but go back before they changed them. Many Americans are using God's financial blessing for drugs, illicit sex, abortion, and for their own selfish ambition, and God is getting fed up with it. That's why God's not blessing America the way He used to. And if you've been around as long as I am, I've been, I can tell a major difference. It's like I'm living a different world than what I grew up in. Everybody I knew either claimed to be a Christian or they claimed to try to live by the Ten Commandments. And now people, they're irrelevant. Just live any way you want to live. That wasn't what I was taught, even in school. The first thing they gave me in the first grade was a rule that says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. The teacher told me this is the golden rule, and I thought the rule was made out of gold. The rule is made out of gold. They taught us to treat people the way you want to be treated, to be good Samaritans, just like the Bible teaches. They don't teach that now. And this nation is not, it's going backwards. We can blame it on politicians, but it's people living ungodly, immoral lives. We don't have a global climate problem. We have a sin problem. Verse 9, but this is a positive message, but I want you to know why God blessed this nation and why He's going to bless it again, because we're praying for revival. Verse 9, therefore, I will take back my grain. Look at that. I will take back my grain at harvest time and my new wine in its season, and I will also take away thy wool and thy flax given to cover your nakedness. I mean, there's a lot of people, even right around here, they do not even have enough food to eat. That's why when Rick and Diane had the food pantry going, they have 80 to 100 cars lined up coming in to get a box of food in Cedar Bluff. Oh, we're the richest nation in the world. No, we're not. We're bankrupt. We owe, $36 trillion or something. And this nation is in trouble, and we don't even know it. But if we'll pray, it'll change. So how in the world can you say that? Because the Word of God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall anybody believe the Word? If my people, which are called, and I'm going to get to some beautiful problems in just a minute, but let me get past this. Okay. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. America, look out. I believe revival is coming because the people in this church is praying. How many of you going to pray that God will turn this nation back to God, back to the Bible, back to the truth? And there's enough people in this room to get it done if God would honor us, if we'll all pray and seek the face of God. And of course, I know there's a lot of other churches just like us that's praying for this nation to turn back to God, turn back to the Bible, turn back to the truth. You see, we do not use what God has, if we do not use what God has given us the way he wants it used, he says he'll take it away. The word says you'll be blessed more than any other people. Now, here goes some good stuff. Deuteronomy 7, verse 12. Now, this is for those who will serve and obey him. If you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you. Verse 13. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit. How can you really love somebody? How can you love your children and not want to bless them? If you love your children, you want them to have nice clothes. You want them to have good food to eat, right? You want them to have not a smartphone, but a dumb phone. wonder why they call those things smartphones. Those are the craziest things. Verse 13, he will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb, the crops of your land. See, this is promises through the whole Bible. And yet modern day Christians, well, if you serve God, you're going to always live on the wrong side of the tracks, never going to have any good things in life. No wonder our kids don't want to be Christians, because we're lying to them. God wants to bless you. I know the plans I have you, declares the Lord. It doesn't matter if you like what I preach or not. I'm reading the Word of God. Listen, he will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. These are those who serve God, period. He will bless the fruit of your body, womb, the crops of your land. There's your job, your career, your children. The Lord promises to bless those who obey him. Verse 14, you'll be blessed more than any other people. United States of America. The only nation truly built on Christian principles has become, and still is, the greatest nation in the world. And the secular humanist Marxists hate it, want to destroy it because they're anti-Christ. We all know that. They say there is no God. God did not create man special because there is no God. Man is just another animal. It doesn't matter if he keeps the Ten Commandments or not. It would do whatever feels good. If it feels good to take a gun to school and shoot somebody, they don't say that. But kids take it that way. If it feels good to take a gun to school and shoot somebody, then whatever feels good. Instead of be good Samaritans. Love everybody. Every race. Every creed. Every code. Love everybody. Love the homosexuals. Yay. Love the transgender. Love people who are shacked up with a girlfriend and boyfriend. You love everybody. Amen. Amen. It doesn't mean you agree with the lifestyle, but you love them, and you'll do things to help them because you're a good Samaritan. Amen. You see, I cannot prosper because I'm a Christian. I cannot I don't know what I'm going to do. Are you a Christian who really does the Word of God and obeys him like Curtis? This says you will be blessed more than people who are not obeying God. That's really what it means. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. Hello. And some of you probably cringe every time I say I haven't missed preaching for 45 years by being sick, because you're thinking, well, next Sunday he may be sick. The devil tells me that every week. Well, next Sunday's your Sunday. But God has blessed me because, number one, and not bragging on me, because I'm a, from what, if I look at where I think I should be, I'm a miserable failure. But I've come a long way compared to where I used to be. And I've learned to stand on the promises. It's not just an automatic thing that I get healed, walk out here. The devil attacked me at the end of the fast. And, man, I was really sick. But because I believe what I preach, I just sat down on the floor and I prayed over the promises of healing, deliverance, and everything else until God healed me. And I think that was Saturday night, and I came to church and preached on Sunday morning. See, it works, but you got to be a doer of the word. Some of you think, well, it's just automatic. No, it's not automatic, because the devil trying to kill your faith, shut you down. Why would you need a shield of faith if it's automatic? God, the devil's firing doubt, darts of unbelief against you, and you got to quench those things with the word of God. Your faith is the word of God. My faith is, with his stripes I'm healed. Okay, with his stripes I'm healed. And no matter what happens to me, the word of God is still true. You can't judge the word of God just by person. He promises to keep those who serve him from diseases. Let me read that again. The Lord will keep you free from every disease. And the reason most Christians don't have it is because they don't believe it. Now, it doesn't mean the devil's not going to try to steal your health and put diseases on you. You've got to know he has no right to do that and tell him, like Jesus did, be gone. Based on the word of God. If Jesus had to do it, you're going to have to do it. He promises to keep those who serve him from disease. This is his covenant with those who obey him. You will be blessed more than any other people. This is a big benefit of serving the Lord. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, then you'll never have to worry about having it. Last week we read Jeremiah 29:11. It's worth reading over and over again. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. Let me ask you one little question. Is God a liar? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. His plan is you will be blessed more than any other people. And you don't serve God to get blessed. You serve God because he loves you and you love him. And you want to serve him if it kills you. And if you're a martyr for his sake, if they kill you because you're speaking the truth, that's okay. But when you live like that and serve God like that and believe that, then God's going to bless you while you're on this earth. And there's not a whole lot you can do to stop it if you truly live for him. When we first started this church, I told the people, I said, now we almost don't have enough food to eat, and we're barely getting by. And I said, but we're sacrificing to build this church, and one of these days, God's going to bless me and Dottie, and there's nothing I can do about it, nothing anybody else can do about it. So when God starts blessing us, don't you complain about it. Was I right? Somebody just gave us a house worth $1.5 million. What did you do to deserve it? Absolutely nothing. Well, maybe I married the right lady and God wanted her to have a house. That's what it was. And some of you still, you're going to have a hard time. But I'm telling you, we didn't even want that house. We weren't praying for another house. I'm just trying to tell you, this word is true. And my desire is to live a life so that you can see it working in me and Dottie. Amen. And some people say, if he can bless us, he can bless anybody. If he can bless my Uncle Curtis, he can bless you. Amen. Psalm 140, and you don't live for that. You live for him. Amen. Psalm 144, verse 1, praise be to the Lord, my rock. I'm going to have to hurry if I'm going to give these promises. Jesus, help. Help me get this done. Okay. Psalm 144, verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. Verse 2. Who subdues people under me. How many of you are at war at work or with somebody somewhere? You see, God will train you how to win your battles. But you got to spend time in prayer. You got to spend time in the Word. Spend time with him. He will also cause people to submit to your leadership. Let me read it one more time. Who trains my hands for war, my fingers for battle. I have this memorized. I quote it probably about every day. You train my hands for war, how to be successful in the difficult times in life, my fingers for battle, who subdues people under me. And if God calls me to do something, God will call people to help me. That's really what it means. Can you say amen? Psalm 144, verse 13, our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Our sheep will increase by thousands, by tens of thousands in your fields. Verse 14, our oxen will draw heavy loads. I told my secretaries, because I'm blessed, they draw heavy loads. Yay. They thought I was comparing to oxen. They didn't like that. But these secretaries, executive assistants, whatever I have, I mean, they work miracles all the time. When you truly serve God, even the people that God called to help you, got to bless them and increase them and so that they can work miracles. And some of you businessmen, you're sitting right there saying, that's right, that's right, that's right. Because God not only blessed you, he blessed the people that work for you. And they're able, and there's some that just, they're not really, they don't have a Christian ethic. They're not working the way they should. Well, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the ones who love the Lord and want to serve the Lord. God will bless them, and they'll be able to do double what other people could do when all of you are serving God. So if God calls you to start a business, don't be afraid of it. Because God can send, if you believe this, God can, the word, he can send people to make you look good. Actually, these people in the office and many others make me look good. My job is to show up and take credit. Look what I did. Look what they did. Haven't I done a wonderful job with the praise team? I can't carry a tune in a bucket. I can't take credit for anything. Psalm 144, verse 13, our barns will be filled with every kind of provision. Our sheep will increase by thousands, tens of thousands in your field. Our grain, it doesn't mean everybody's going to be rich, but you can be blessed. Our oxen will draw heavy loads. Verse 15, blessed are the people of whom this is true. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. If you got the wrong God, you need to trade him in for the God of the Bible. Yes. Not the God of some preacher's imagination. He's a God of poverty. He's a God who inflicts good, godly peoples to teach them something. The only problem with that is I spent my whole life in the Bible and I haven't found it to this day. Joseph had some problems, but that's because God was lining him up for something big. Amen. It wasn't because he was cursing him. You see, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. Psalm 113, verse 7, he raises the poor from the dust. If you poor is Job's turkey, this is for you. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. It is God's will for us to be blessed if we will obey him. Not just to bless us, but so we can be a blessing. You can't be a blessing if you're broke. Proverbs 10:24, what the wicked dread will overtake him. What the righteous desire will be granted. What the righteous desire will be granted. Righteous, righteous, righteous. Under the old covenant, new covenant, if you're righteous, you're righteous. And you qualify. What the righteous desire will be granted. Verse 25, when the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. People say, well, all these bad things are happening to everybody else, so I guess it's going to happen to me next. No, it says the wicked are going to be gone, but I'm going to stand firm forever. Yeah. I'm just reading it. The desire of the righteous will be granted. God will protect the righteous, but the storm will remove the wicked. When bad things happen, God will use that to remove bad people, but to bless his people. He redeems bad things and turns them to good. God does not promise to protect the wicked. Psalm 145, verse 19, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. fear him. What does that mean? It means you obey him. You're afraid not to. You read the Bible and pray and go to church because you're afraid not to. It's not because God's going to bring judgment on you, but he's giving you something to do to be successful, and you need to do it. And if you don't do it, you need to have a measure of fear. Because I'm not being obedient. He will fulfill the desires of those who fear him and save them from trouble. Psalm 75, verse 6, for promotion cometh from the east, cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. If you're not being promoted, it might be because you need to build a better relationship with God and truly obey him. Promotion comes from, mean old boss won't promote me. It might be true that God will need to give you another boss. But it also might be true that you need to spend more time seeking God and obeying God. Because promotion comes from him. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. God promotes those who believe his promises. I don't want to say anything to embarrass Milton, but God has prospered him. And he just telling me, I think it was yesterday, that everything he does, he prays over it, and God shows him what to do. Am I lying, Milton? Is that true? He's blessed because he prays over everything, every decision, and God tells him what to do. And all the successful people in his church, I think, would tell you the same thing. And many people tell you they've been more successful because they've been coming here because they get the promises. It's not because of my eloquent preaching. I'm no country boy. I learned to preach by calling in the cows, you know, the pigs. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you may that he may exalt you in due time. Don't brag on yourself, brag on Jesus. Those who believe his promises are promoted, and those who humble themselves are exalted. Once again, does God lie? Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. In Proverbs 28, verse 12, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. That's a description of the United States of America. We have become the most powerful nation financially every other way in the whole world, and we have blessed about every nation in the whole world. Nearly all the free nations of the world right now would be slaves to communism except for the United States of America. And everybody knows that. Europe was destroyed. We rebuilt Europe. Just telling you what a Christian nation should look like. And we need to get back to where we came from. Quickly. Verse 13, and the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you will be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If you heed the commandments, there's a big if there, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God. And part of the commandments is to be a doer of the word. You see, we appropriate all these good promises by believing them, speaking them, and acting on them. Don't go around talking about how poor you are and about all the problems you have. Memorize some of these scriptures and replace your negative words with the scripture. With his stripes, I'm healed. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, thanks be to God, which always causes me to triumph. I win every time when I obey God. And if I mess up, it's probably because I disobeyed God or I didn't hear from God. In Psalm 146, verse 7, he upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. He comes to the defense of the oppressed, and he feeds the hungry. You see, there is no impossibility with God. There is no impossibility with God. There is no impossibility with God. Say that with me. There is no impossibility with God. In other words, he can even bless somebody like me. And he has. I want you to listen to this. I need to read it quickly. 2 Kings 6:24. Now this shows you, no matter how impossible your situation is, God can come through. Amen. And Israel deserved what they were getting because they'd been very rebellious to God, but God still bailed them out. Look, 2 Kings 6:24. Now it came about after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. That's God's people, the Israelites. Verse 25, there was a great famine in Samaria because of that blockade. It got so bad that the people actually, at least one, killed their baby and cooked it and ate it. That's how bad it got. This is what happens when people abandon God. And America could get there if we don't turn this thing around spiritually, living right, doing right, being right. Tomorrow, about this time, Elisha jumped up, gave a prophecy. Listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. What's he talking about? He's saying tomorrow there's going to be so much food that the price will drop. The law of supply and demand. And the people think this guy has totally lost his marbles. And some of you may be thinking this preacher's lost his marbles, but what God did then, he'll do now. If he can find somebody to believe him. Every impossibility is an opportunity for a miracle. Don't you dare forget that. When I was so sick, the last of the fast, the devil said, I got you now. But that was just an opportunity for another miracle. Amen. Now, there were 4 leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, why do we sit here until we die? Why do we sit here until we starve to death? They said, if we sit here, we will starve. If we go to the enemy's camp, they may kill us. But at least they got food down there. So we're going to go down and see if we can get something to eat. So they got up and went to the enemy's camp. Verse 5, when they came to the outskirts of the camp of the Arameans, behold, there was no one there. They were gone. All was left was piles of food and all kind of provisions. What in the world happened? God. Verse 6. See, I can believe this because I had things tremendous in my life that's happened similar, not just like this, but getting a house given to you is something pretty big. For the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and sounds of horses, even the sound of a great army, and there was nothing there. God just made a recording in heaven and played it for them. Yay. They heard this great army coming, and they ran and left all their stuff. They didn't take time to even take their horses, from what I remember of it. They thought the king of Israel had hired a great army to fight them. Therefore, they arose and fled. You see, they left their horses, donkeys, food, and everything they had in the camp. They left everything behind that Israel needed to survive. When these 4 dying men decided to act, God worked a miracle. God was doing it, but he needed somebody to go down there to go tell Israel, to go tell the people, God's people, that there was food there. God used these 4 lepers to help fulfill Elisha's prophecy. They went back and told the people what they had found. And verse 16 says, then a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord, supply and demand. There was so much food, it was cheap, and they had plenty of it, and didn't have to eat their babies. How many believe God wants to bless America again? How many believe he wants to bless you? God told me to preach this. And actually, it's not a whole lot of preaching. It's mostly just a whole lot of reading. Amen. And of course, that's what you folks expect. These people are literally starving to death. But God worked a miracle. If we will believe these promises, he will bless us, bless you. Well, I'm not worthy. Well, so what? Join the club. Okay. All of us are worthy of hellfire. And the only reason we're worthy of anything different is the blood applied to our lives. That makes us worthy. If you're born again, you're worthy to be blessed. But you still need to do the word. Pray, fast, go to church, meditate on the word. Jesus said, according to your faith, no wavering or doubting these promises. Victory comes by hearing, believing, and acting on these promises. God is good and does good. God is good and everything he does is good. God gives us the ability to get wealth because God is good and does good. Let's stand.